What's going on in the Atlanta real estate markets? What's going on with home values? Where are the best schools? Cleve has all the answers for you. Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show on Talk Radio 640 WGSD. Now, here's Cleve Gaddis.
Welcome to another week's edition of the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. My name is Cleve Gaddis. I am your show host. I'm also a full-time real estate agent and broker with a team full of agents helping buyers, sellers, investors, and landlords make the best decisions possible when buying, selling, or investing in real estate anywhere. Anywhere in Metro Atlanta. We can be reached by calling 770-497-0000, or you can go to gogaddis.com. That's gogaddis.com. Have all the resources from the radio show there. We also have a contact us link. If you want to get a question answered on the show, or you have a question that you want us to answer privately, no problem. Our goal for this show is to educate, to empower with that knowledge, and then to hopefully engage with you when you're buying, selling, or investing in real estate. I'm joined in the studio, as always, by Alfred Romero, or my man, Alfie.
Hello, Mr. Gaddis.
How are you doing today?
Glad to be back here in the studio with you yet again for another week of the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. Just fired up, ready to go for all the stats, information, answering questions. I'm just ready to go. And you got a pretty jam-packed show for us today.
So. I think you're right, Alfie. And only 9 more weeks till we get to do our 100th episode celebration. We're having barbecue and inviting all the listeners in.
Nice.
Right? I wonder if they'll get upset with us if we do that on the weekend.
For show number 100, we get to do whatever we want.
I think that's fair. I do think we've got a good lineup. First of all, CEO of one of the major real estate companies in the United States.
Yeah.
Has warned all of his agents of the coming market downturn. Alfie, we haven't talked about anything. Remember on last week's show, we talked about the fact... That's the law and order. I
like
wanted
to make
that.
It really dramatic there.
I like that. Last week, we talked about the first year-over-year sales decline,
right.
July of 2016 versus July of 2015, that I don't know that we've had a sales decline in probably 3 years, but we had one. And this is not the sky is falling.
Right.
This
don't
is,
freak
hey,
out.
At some point in time, you start to get to your rate of increases start to slow down. We're going to talk a little bit about Gary Keller of Keller Williams and his forecasting a shift in the market. Got a question from Roberta in Atlanta. Says, our agent keeps saying that home builders won't negotiate on prices and terms, and she wants to know why that is. I will answer her question, and I'll tell you right now up front that that's not true.
Oh, okay.
That is simply not true. Home builders will negotiate on prices and terms. During the second segment of the show, Alfie, we're going to feature the 10 most redneck cities in the state of Georgia. Oh, you got turn that. I like that. That's not
just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
I
like that. That's what's his name? Boss Hogg?
No, that's Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Yeah, and then you had Cooter, who was from Georgia.
Correct, and he had also served as a congressman,
He was a state... No, a U.S. congressman.
Correct.
What was his name?
I'm going to have to look him up.
No, it doesn't matter. We're good. We'll do the 10 most redneck cities in the state of Georgia, and Alfie is worried his city is going to be on the list.
Well, I'm only a hop, skip, and a jump away from Atlanta Motor Speedway, so.
Well, that definitely would be rednecky down in that area. Stacy of Cumming wants to know, how does the contingency for the sale of a buyer's property work? Says she has an offer, but I'm confused about the process. Linda and Stu and Buford say, we just had our home inspection, and the report is 62 pages.
Woo.
We don't even know where to begin. What do you recommend? I recommend you tear it up and throw it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Linda and Stu. Joni in Ackworth wants to know how she finds out whether or not there are any insurance claims filed on the house. I assume it's one she plans to buy in the past. We're going to talk about 6 reasons to Google an address before you buy a house. Have you ever thought about that, Alfie, that you would actually Google the address before you purchase a house?
I would never have thought about doing
that. That's part of our due diligence process in the Sure Home Buying System, believe it or not. Huh. And when we get to that segment, you're going to like why.
Oh, Ben Jones was Cooter, by the way.
Oh, Ben Jones was Cooter. You were looking it up.
I had to look it up.
I like it. The Lowdown on the Hood segment is going to feature Oxford Mill in Johns Creek and Fulton County. We're going to ask the economist, actually one who works for Equifax right here in the Metro Atlanta area, what she expects to happen after the election. I think you want to stay tuned to hear her answer, because it certainly could make a difference in the decisions you make real estate related between now and November and after November. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. I'm Cleve Gaddis, joined in the studio by Alfred Romero.
Hello.
And my man Alfie, and we are talking real estate. This show is all about real estate, although sometimes we play the theme song from the
Dukes of Hazzard.
You
never know what's
going to happen. We talk about different trivia. You just never know what's going to happen on here.
We keep you on the edge of your seat.
Well, this is an article from Inman News, written by Brad Inman, says Keller Williams' co-founder is not bullish on the market. Co-founder of Keller Williams' name is Gary Keller, and he isn't bullish about economic and housing market conditions. In a speech he gave recently before most of his agents, he painted a less than optimistic picture of where the housing market stands and how it might lead to a shift. He points to five indicators of a downturn of some sort. Number one, days on the market are up. Number two, the supply of move-up and higher-end housing is not growing. Is now growing. Home prices are going down in some markets. Unit sales are slowing and construction is flat. He says only four times in U.S. history have home sales been higher, and it's a sign of a upcoming shift. Now, Gary Keller also wrote a book that is designed to train real estate agents, and the title of that book is Shift. So there might be a theme here. He might be trying to sell some books to people who are real estate agents. But he says the median home price is higher than it has ever been. He says it wouldn't take much right now to push us into a buyer's market. And Alfie, what do we call a buyer's market in terms of number of months? Do you remember? More than 5 months worth of inventory puts us in a buyer's market in the Metro Atlanta area. He says we're now seeing many markets split by price point. Entry-level homes remain in a seller's market, but some luxury and move-up markets show signs of shifting. Affordability has been declining since January as prices continue to outpace wage growth. So Gary Keller is saying, hey, if you're going to be in the real estate business, good gracious, I picked up my water bottle and knocked my almost knocked my microphone off the stand. Sorry for those of you who heard that.
Well, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with what he's
there
saying?
There is no doubt that they're softening in the higher price ranges. So if I had to pick the price range in Atlanta, I'd say once you get over 450 in the northern areas, once you get up over probably 350 in the southern areas, you start to see softening in the market. And there's a very big difference in the number of days it takes to sell a property. And in some cases, a lot of properties are not even being sold. They're expiring without being sold. So you've had a lot of appreciation on a home if you own one here in Atlanta. And if you need to sell it, my suggestion would be you get serious and sell it sooner than later. I don't think prices are going down, but I think the 6, 8, 10, 11% increases we've seen over the last 4 to 5 years, I think those times are a-changing. Real quickly, before we take a break, Roberta in Atlanta writes in, our agent keeps saying that home builders won't negotiate on prices and terms. Why is this? And I'm going to be honest, I don't think your agent is giving you an accurate picture of what's going on in the market. What you need to do is ask your agent to run an inventory analysis of new homes. So pick a school district or a zip code or whatever is the most appropriate way to sort through or to segment your market. Ask that agent to print for you a list of everything that's sold in the last 12 months. And then print for you the amount of inventory that's available in that market area, in that price range. And I think you will find that there's probably plenty of inventory available in most areas, and builders are willing to negotiate. I was doing a deal early this year with a builder, and when we're doing a deal, I'm always asking for something better, always.
Right.
And I normally start out by asking for something that's just crazy. So, for example, our first discount I'll ask for is maybe 50% off. You know, instead of $300,000, we pay $150,000. Would that work? Because you got to get the discussion out there somewhere. You might as well say something crazy.
Right.
And the agent said, and I hadn't had anybody say they're willing to negotiate. And he said, well, no, I don't think we can do that. But what do you want me to put in the offer for the builder? And I almost fell over out of my chair. This was like January. And then I started realizing, hey, times are a change in builders are willing to negotiate because there's a little bit of softness in the market. And they're continuing to build more homes, which means there's going to be more negotiating as we move forward. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to feature the 10 most redneck cities in the state of Georgia. And I'm going to pray just quietly during the break that Alfie's hometown is not on the list. Stick with us, and we'll be right back.
This is Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show on Talk Radio 640 WGST.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. You're listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. I'm Cleve Gaddis, your show host. Additionally, I'm also a full-time real estate agent and broker with Gaddis Partners REMAX Center, with a full group of agents helping buyers, sellers, investors, and landlords make the best decisions possible when buying, selling, or investing in real estate all throughout Metro Atlanta area. If you'd want to reach us, the number to use, 770-497-0000, or if you want to click instead, just go to gogaddis.com, G-O-G-A-D-D-I-S.com. You'll find a Contact Us button there. You can write down any question you have, any comments you have. If you want to say something derogatory about Alfie, whatever. I mean, you can use that for any. And I'm just kidding. Nobody's ever says anything derogatory about Alfie. Never.
I'm really nice.
You are nice. Yeah. There is no doubt about that. You're a class act. This segment of the show is brought to you by the law firm of O'Kelly and Sorahan. They are a full-service law firm with 17 offices throughout Metro Atlanta. They specialize in residential real estate closings, including home purchases, refinance closings, corporate relocation, and real estate contract review and title insurance matters. They can be reached by calling 770-497-1880, 770-497-1880. Before we took a break, we mentioned that we were going to review the list of the top 10 most redneck cities in the state of Georgia. I like it. Turn it up, Alfie. That's good. Smokey and the Bandit.
That's correct, sir.
Filmed in Georgia.
Correct, yeah. Filmed over there at Lakewood Amphitheater, or it used to be Lakewood Amphitheater.
What's it called now?
Well, it used to be a racetrack over there. And they used to have a amusement park and a whole bunch of other stuff going on over there in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Before, and they used to have a raceway there. In fact, on the side of the parking lot, they still have the stands from, which is old Lakewood, Lakewood Speedway.
Really?
Back in the day, yeah. I think they did some NASCAR races out there.
And what city is that in?
That's, I guess, in Atlanta, right there, I guess, on the outskirts of Atlanta.
Would it be considered Atlanta?
I think so, anyway. Yes, because you hit the...
So we'll see if that area is on our list of the top 10 redneck cities in the state of Georgia. So first we need to define what a redneck city is. So, first of all, they use the dictionary definition categories. I don't know that they really have a definition of a redneck in the dictionary. They probably do.
Let me see if they do.
It says defined as small towns, the least amount of high school graduates, and, Alfie, this is insulting, but lives in the South. Third one, lives in the South.
I guess
so. Then they have the stereotypical categories, the number of dive bars per city, number of mobile home parks per capita, number of tobacco stores per city, the number of guns and ammo stores per city, and the number of Walmarts, Bass Pro Shops, Dollar Generals, and Piggly Wigglies nearby.
They have Waffle House?
No, it's not on the list, but it should be on the list, shouldn't it?
Yeah, here's the new Oxford American Dictionary. Redneck is in there.
Let's hear it.
It's a noun. It says informal, derogatory.
Is my picture in there?
No, it's not in there.
Good.
It says a working class white person, especially a politically, someone from a rural area.
What does it say politically?
Politically reactionary.
Oh, reactionary.
Yeah. One from a rural area.
In other words, likes to drive around with a Confederate flag hanging on the back of their truck.
Rednecks in the high cheap seats stomped their feet and hooted. That was the sentence they have for the definition. They're using a word.
I love it. Well, let's give our list. We're going to start with number 10. Number 10 is Clayton, Georgia. That's up in northeast Georgia. Number 9, Chickamauga. That's up near Chattanooga. You know where that is?
I've been to Chattanooga, but I've never driven through or Chickamauga.
Number 8, Bainbridge. That's in southwest Georgia, almost falling off into Florida. Number 7, Gainesville, our first metro Atlanta city.
There you go.
I wonder if they put them on their per chicken, per capita chicken population. Number 6, Cumming. I'm surprised that was on there. Number 5, Doraville.
All right.
Number 4, Adairsville.
Okay.
Up near Rome.
All right.
Number 3, Pembroke. That's down west of Savannah.
Okay.
Number 2, Ackworth. And number 1, I would have thought this was a classy city, not a redneck city, Ella J.
Oh, Ella J is real. Yeah, that's near me. That's really rednecky, yes.
I thought Ella J was up toward the mountains.
No,
Ella J south?
Well, there's an Ella J. Oh, okay. No, wait. Yeah, you.
I thought Ella J was up north. Look up and see.
Yeah, because I think Ella J is right near.
Look it up and see. I'm going to give you the 5 least redneck cities in the state of Georgia. The 5 least redneck. And these don't make any sense to me. Number 5 is Dawsonville. That seems kind of redneck.
Yeah, that's like the home of the Elliots.
Number 4, Henderson. Number 3, Druid Hills. Number 2, Heron Bay. And number 1, Dutch Island. And I have no idea where half those cities are. Did you look up and see where that one we were talking
about? Yeah, you're right. Ella J's in Gilmer County.
It's up north.
Right.
Yeah.
Population 1619.
1619, which means the entire real estate market up there every year consists of 8 home sales or something like that. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. My name is Cleve Gaddis. I'm joined in the studio by my man Alfie, and we just talked about or discussed the 10 most redneck cities in the state of Georgia, and I thought the definition of a redneck city is excellent. They just describe them as small towns with the least amount of high school graduates, and they're in the South, which is that's very racist. I'm offended.
I think so.
As a middle-aged white male, I'm offended. And the stereotypical categories, number of dive bars per city, the number of mobile home parks per capita, the number of tobacco stores per city, the number of guns and ammo stores per city, and the number of, and I love this, Walmarts, Bass Pro Shops, Dollar Generals, and Piggly Wigglies. I hope none of those companies are listening to me and send me a cease and desist order to stop me from using their name in a derogatory fashion online. We've got a question now from Stacy and Cumming. It says, how does the contingency for the sale of a buyer's property work? I have an offer, but I'm confused about the process. And Stacy, truth is, a couple ways for it to work. Buyer comes to the table, says, hey, I'm going to buy your home, but my ability and my obligation to buy your home is contingent on my ability to get my home closed. And just because it's contingent on them closing their home before they buy yours does not mean that their home is already under contract. So you need to be very clear about where they are in the process. Because, Stacy, putting your home under contract with somebody whose home is not yet under contract and having to wait until that home goes under contract and closes before you can close yours.
Right. Question mark of when are you going to get done?
You might be better off just to keep marketing it.
Right.
So, but if their home is already under contract, they have a firm closing date, and they're through some of the contingencies, maybe due diligence or inspections over, maybe the appraisal's already been done, maybe it's smooth sailing. Maybe your agent could even call the lender for the buyer's buyer and have a conversation with them. Maybe call the agent for the buyer's buyer. But there's what's called a sale or lease of buyer's property contingency exhibit. It's a pre-written form produced by the Georgia Association of Realtors, and it says, I own property located at this address as the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
I certify it's under contract or not under contract, and I'm going to be obligated to buy your property as soon as my property goes under contract and closes. Says the buyer's going to use their best efforts to fulfill their obligations under this contingency exhibit. And it also, and this is interesting, it has a paragraph that gives the seller the opportunity to kick out the buyer if something better comes along.
Yeah.
It is called a kick-out provision, and it says the seller shall have the right to continue to offer the property for sale. And in the event the seller receives an acceptable offer to purchase the property, seller shall give buyers notice of that. And then the buyer shall have 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever you agree to either remove all their contingencies or to terminate the contract and go away. So, Stacy, hopefully that answers your question about how a contingency for the sale of another piece of property works. It's really fairly simple and straightforward. As the market starts to soften somewhat, and it's not going to quickly go to heck in a handbasket. It's going to be a good market. I just don't think we're going to see the price increases that we've seen over the last few years, and I don't think that everything's going to sell in 4 or 5 days. In a normal market, it used to take 60, 70 days to sell a house in Atlanta,
right.
And we might get to where that is a little bit more the norm. Don't be afraid of a contingency for the sale or the closing of another property. Research it, understand what they're selling, understand whether or not it's under contract, whether or not their buyers approve, whether or not the contingencies are gone. Because if you think about it, Alfie, if you were going to buy my house and ultimately it was easier for you to sell your house than it was for me to sell my house because you were moving up, yours was 210 and you were going to buy mine that was 300, sometimes I got a better chance of getting you to sell your home and then you're obligated to buy my home. So, Stacy, right. Hopefully that helps. If you have any more questions, 770-497-0000 is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Linda and Stu in Buford about their 62-page home inspection report and where in the heck they start to make some decisions on what to do. Stick with us, and we'll be right back.
This is Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show on Talk Radio 640 WGST. Now, here's Cleve Gaddis.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh. Where did this music come from, Alfie? Turn it up just a little bit. I like it.
No.
Oh, what's this
Tone,
called?
It's Tone Loke.
Yeah, yeah.
Wild Thing.
That's just not very Cleve kind of music,
nah,
is it?
No.
Welcome back to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. We appreciate you sticking with us
during
the break. Got some good questions this segment. Linda and Stu. And this, by the way, segment of the show is brought to you by John Birchfield and Brand Mortgage. John makes it his...
The kids love him.
John makes it his mission to guide each home buyer step by step through the entire loan process so they are educated and confident in the mortgage options available and can make the best decisions along the way. He can be reached by calling 678-226-7887. 678-226-7887. He is our preferred lender. If you need to refinance a property or get a loan to purchase a property, you owe it to yourself to reach out to John, 678-226-7887. Linda and Stu in Buford write in. We just had our home inspection, and the report is 62 pages. We don't even know where to begin. What do you recommend? Linda and Stu, I can relate. When I first got into the real estate business and I would work with a buyer and we'd get a home inspection, and it's not unusual to have an 80 or 100-page home inspection report. The reports would come in, and I'd print the report out because you had to back then, and I'd sit in the floor and I'd cry because it can be overwhelming. You have all these items and all these different things that you need. That's what I sound like. That's exactly what, although I sound a little more masculine than that.
I got you.
It's overwhelming. And so what we have, Alfie, as part of the Sure Home Buying System, is part of the due diligence steps, is we have a step-by-step process for reviewing a home inspection report. So when you get to the point, instead of you being overwhelmed, Alfie, one of our agents would email you a document that looks just like this, and it would give you a legend or a way to mark the different items as you went through the report. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal. It sounds like anybody could do that, but that is huge in helping you stay focused on where how you're going to move forward. Now, I know this is probably not going to be something that everybody's going to remember, but let's just kind of go through some of the items and the way you would mark them and what those things mean.
All right.
So the first marking we give you is you can put a Y next to an item, and that means yes, that's something you want the seller to address prior to closing. You could put an N next to the item, and that means no, it doesn't need to be addressed by the seller prior to closing. It could be something that needs to be addressed, but you want to handle it yourself because you'd like to put your stamp of approval on the item. The next one is you can put a C next to an item, and you'll find, Linda and Stu, that a lot of the items are not items that need to be addressed. They're comments that the home inspector is making to you about something to look at in the future, something to monitor long term, best ways to take care of something. And so we recommend you put a C next to that item, which means it's a comment from the home inspector. An example is how often the furnace filter should be replaced, or a note about something that works properly and he's just mentioning to you or she's mentioning to you that it's been checked. Another way to mark an item would be MI, and for us that stands for more information. That means, for example, the inspector says seller needs to demonstrate or show you how the sprinkler system works. You have different type of light bulb in this area, and you need some more information. I couldn't make the gas logs work, so somebody needs to give you more information and show how that works, or more research, or whatever. The next way we would recommend is you make to mark something is you'd put an SP, and that stands for seller to provide. So you don't have the gas key for the fireplace. You don't have your garage door openers. And so you're just saying, hey, this is something we want the seller to provide us prior to closing. The next category is SD, which is seller to demonstrate. How does the sprinkler system work? How does the alarm system work? We couldn't make the garage door go up and down correctly. How does that work? What are we missing there? Next item is a question mark, and that means you don't know what you should ask for, and a lot of times your agent doesn't know, and those items will match up, and that means we need to do some research. We need to talk to the home inspector. We need to talk to somebody who's an expert in that and help us understand, should we ask for it? Should it be something we take care of ourselves? The next item is an A, which we would use for an allowance, meaning we really don't want the seller to take care of it. We want the seller to give us an allowance. Now, you're limited in today's world, Linda and Stu, on the amount of allowance that you can give a buyer. Typically, realty allowances, they'll only allow you to give like $2,500 on a typical conventional loan, and sometimes they won't allow you to give any. But you can give some additional allowances toward the buyer's closing cost. So, Alfie, if I gave you $1,000 toward your closing cost, ultimately I'm saving you from bringing $1,000 to closing, which gives you the $1,000 left over to make the repairs when it's all said and done and closed. And then the last way we categorize is using a B, which means buyer to do later. And I'll give you an example. A lot of buyers will ask, you know, you have cracks in the driveway, and the buyers will say, hey, I want you as the seller to caulk those cracks in the driveway. The problem is the seller's not going to be calling that home after 3 or 4 weeks, so they don't give a flip whether or not they make your driveway look like it has varicose veins. And so you want to probably take care of that stuff. So it's really, really cosmetically important to you, then you probably want to take care of it yourself. So, Linda and Stu, hopefully that helps. If you have any more questions, need more details, 770-497-0000 is the number to call. There's an article I found on Trulia's blog recently, and it says 6 reasons to Google an address. As part of our Sure Home buying system during the due diligence period, we send our buyer clients a specific email that tells them exactly how to go in and Google the address and how to format it. So you spell out the state of Georgia, you just use GA, you use the zip code, you don't use the zip code. You're trying to find all different ways for the address, because we were in the process of selling a home one day and didn't realize that it was the location of the largest drug bust in history in Gwinnett County. Now, that's something that you don't want to find out during the due diligence period, Alfie. So, but lots of different things can come up. We found homes that were subject to mortgage fraud in the past.
Oh, wow.
But it says that you want to scope out the street view so you can get an understanding of what it looked like to live on the street. You can find out if the house was a flip, because you might find old pictures that were taken before the home was redone. You can avoid health concerns, maybe if the house was a meth lab in the city of Atlanta. You can imagine your life there. You can do all kind of walking maps and map out how you get from here to school. Things like that. You can get information on the HOA, Alfie. Put in the HOA's name, and maybe you got some comments about the HOA, and you can also scope out potential growth. What's being added to the area? Can you see signs of new development coming? Can you see land that's being cleared? Things like that. So we have what's called a surrounding area search and an address search. Surrounding area search we do for you for free. It's included in the price, not that there would ever be a charge for anything like that. But we take care of that for you. And then the Google address search, we want you to take care of that yourself. Alfie, did you know that the average home sold by owner, or as we call it, FSBO, sells for almost $39,000 less than home sold by a real estate pro?
What?
And you know, we sell Gaddis Partners Remax Center homes on average for more than $16,000 more than the average agent. That means we sell homes for almost 25% more than when an owner tries to sell the home on their own. And the secret is our customized maximum value plan.
That's right, Cleve. You actually helped out a gentleman in Roswell who was selling a home for his mother.
David, I remember. He was one of the first people we ever had to request a customized maximum value plan.
Well, I'm glad he. I'm sure you're glad he did, because you were able to get $27,000 more for him than he thought he was going to be able to get.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It really only took like 45 days, and you're right. I think it was exactly $27,000. So those of you who are planning to sell your Metro Atlanta home, you should call and take advantage of the same offer that David did. Instead of paying $799 for a customized maximum value plan, you can get one for free, just like David did.
And it's easy to do, right? I mean, all
You just go to 770-497-0000 before this show is over and ask for a customized maximum value plan. Or, just as easy, you can go to gogaddis.com, GOGADDIS.com, and click on the customized maximum value plan button. Just answer a few questions and we'll get the process started right away. Again, 770-497-0000 is a number to call, or they can visit gogaddis.com, GOGADDIS.com.
Now, is this legal? Is this legal to do? It's not illegal, right?
It should be illegal because it gives you an unfair advantage in selling your house. There's absolutely nothing illegal about it. It's like an appraisal on steroids is what it's like.
Nice.
So if you're interested, give us a call, 770-497-0000, and we'll get you hooked up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our Lowdown on the Hood segment is going to feature Oxford Mill in the heart of Johns Creek. And we're going to not talk to on the show, but we're going to give some comments from a national economist on what's going to happen after the election to home sales in the United States. Stick with us, and we'll be right back.
This is Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show on Talk Radio 640 WGST.
Welcome back to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. Alfie was motioning for me to start up talking again, and I was having problems with my phone and my iPad, and I was about 3 feet away from the microphone. Alfie, during the break,
yes, sir,
I went to the restroom.
Yep.
Nobody told me that the maids had just cleaned the restroom. It was like being on an ice skating rink.
Oh, did you? You didn't?
No, I did not fall, but I'm telling you, I could have as I walked up to let's just call it the counter.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
I like slid up to it. I'm like, holy mackerel. What if I had fallen in the restroom? What would you have done, Alfie? Would you just start the show back up if I didn't show back up?
Or, well, I mean,
yeah, I guess you'd have to play music or something.
The show would have
to
go on. The show must go on there, Cleve. Maybe we just call up on your phone back here in the studio and we just put you on through the phone.
Maybe so. Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show, and we appreciate you staying with us through the break. I'm Cleve Gaddis, your radio show host, also a full-time real estate agent and broker with Gaddis Partners REMAX Center right here in Atlanta, with a team full of agents helping buyers, sellers, investors, and landlords make the best decisions possible when buying, selling, or investing in real estate all throughout Metro Atlanta. If you need to reach us, 770-497-0000 is a number to call, or for those who like to click instead of call, gogaddis.com. That's GOGADDIS.com. Each week, we spotlight one specific Metro Atlanta neighborhood to call out critical changes in that market pricing and to discuss other important market information to help you identify unique opportunities in that specific area. This week, we're highlighting Oxford Mill in the heart of Johns Creek, which is in North Fulton County. In 2007, the average sales price of a home in Oxford Mill was $597,500. By 2012, the average sales price had dropped all the way to $478,000, dropped $119,000 or 20%. Year-to-date in 2016, the average sales price, Alfie, is $603,000, so it dropped 20%, came back up 21%. If you look at the numbers on a scale of 100, 2007 is represented by the number 100. 2012 is represented by the number 80, 2016, 101. So prices in the neighborhood are 1% higher than they were at their all-time high. There's one home currently for sale at $679,000, which means there's 1.33 months worth of inventory, which means it is a seller's market. You have less than 4 months worth of inventory, which means sellers have more of an advantage over buyers. 4 to 5 months is a balanced market. More than 5 months is a buyer's market. Total number of houses in the neighborhood, just a little under 300, which means homeowner equity from 2012 to 2016 increased $35.7 million. The elementary school is Dalvin, the middle school is Autry Mill, and the high school is Johns Creek, which gets a school chimp score of 100. There's an article in DS News, which stands for Debt Servicing News. It's a great little update that covers all kinds of important industry trends. And it's asked the economist, housing industry post-election, Amy Cruz Cutts, who's the chief economist for Equifax right here in Atlanta, was asked what she thinks, based on her 17 years worth of experience in economic analysis, is going to happen to the housing market in the United States of America as we change from one president to another, regardless of who wins the election. She says one thing that characterizes the United States and obviously many of our Western friends in the industrialized world is an easy transfer of power. She says one president goes on and the next president goes in, and the democratic process works. The lights from one account go off, and then they pull a switch and all the accounts are active under the new regime. She says an orderly transformation of power means that the FHA rules will stay the same, that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Alfie rules will stay the same, and that Wall Street rules will stay the same up until time the new administration, regardless of whoever takes over, comes in and starts to make their mark on policy, but that will be a year or two. So for those of you who were waiting to hear the big news on what's going to happen to housing as we make the change in presidents, which will happen election in November, take office in January, she says nothing is going to change. She says everything is going to be the same. Heard somebody the other day say something that I thought was interesting, Alfie. Said the market activity doesn't match the market fundamentals. Any idea, Alfie, as what the heck that means? He's saying market activity, this was a fairly high-level economist with the National Association of Realtors, talking about the sale of high-end homes, says market activity doesn't match market fundamentals. So what she was saying was employment's good, income's good, household formation is good, but sales are lower than they should be. So she's saying market activity doesn't match market fundamentals. And if I had to guess, I would say that Brexit, the fact that it really didn't do anything except push mortgage rates down in the U.S., but it scared everybody. How could anybody, any country, say, I'm going to leave the European Union? How could the state of Georgia say, for example, we're going to leave the United States of America? I mean, a little different example.
Right, right.
But also the fact that you have, let's call it Trumpenton or Clinton-ump. Let's just combine Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump's last names.
Right.
That's weighing on people's minds. What's going to happen? Who's going to be the president? How is it going to affect policy? How is it going to affect housing?
Right.
There are a lot of people that get themselves in a holding pattern. In let's call it 2009. No. Yeah, probably 2009 or 10. I had Alfie invested in one of the largest REMAX brokerages in the state of Georgia early in 2006. And by 2009... I'm not going to say that I hated it, but I wished I'd have never seen the place because the market was so bad that it was just absolutely almost impossible to make any money. And I was complaining to one of my friends, and I said, boy, if we could just make changes, Alfie, and who's president of the United States, that'd make all the difference in the world. And what he said to me was, hey, listen, whoever's president's not going to make any difference in your overall success. He said, ultimately, that's going to be totally up to you. And what he was telling to me is to quit sitting around whining like a baby and get out there and do something about your problem. And it was really some extremely, extremely good advice that was delivered in a very loving manner. But it made me understand, hey, Cleve, you need to stop complaining. You need to stop worrying and just go and do something. So truthfully, whoever becomes president is probably not going to make that much of a difference in the housing market, at least not initially. Alfie, did you know that the average home sold by owner, or FSBO as we call it, sells for almost $39,000 less than home sold by a real estate pro?
I did not know that.
And you know, we at Gaddis Partners RE/MAX Center sell homes on average for $16,000 more than the average agent, which means we put almost 25% more into a sales price compared to when an owner tries to sell the property themselves. And the secret is our customized maximum value plan. Have you ever heard of one of those before?
You have, just
because you're on the show. Had you ever heard one before you were on the show?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
I never heard of him before.
Do you remember the guy David from Roswell who called in?
Yes.
He was one of the first people to request a customized maximum value plan.
And you saved him a ton of money, or you got him a lot of money, right?
$27,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
$27,000. Within 45 days of him making that call, he had his home sold, closed, and had $45,000 more in his pocket than he thought he would. So if you are planning to sell your Metro Atlanta home, any of you, you should call and take advantage of the same offer that David took advantage of. Instead of paying $799 for a customized maximum value plan, you can get one for free, just like David did.
For free? How can they get a free one?
So they just call 770-497-0000 before the end of this show and ask for a customized maximum value plan. Or if you don't want to have a conversation with somebody, just go to gogaddis.com, GOGADDIS.com. Click on the Customize Maximum Value Plan button. Just answer a few quick questions, and we'll get the process started right away. One more time, for those of you that didn't write it down, you can call 770-497-0000, or you can visit GoGaddis, GOGADDIS.com. And Alfie, for those, for anybody that might think that's too good to be true, it is absolutely a legit deal.
Seriously.
It is a legit deal. And for any doubters out there, just give us a call or
click. Well, you never lie to us.
And see for yourself. I haven't yet, and I certainly would never do it on purpose under any circumstances. Alfie, we have had an absolute ton on the agenda for today's show. We appreciate, as usual, everyone who listens to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. And we will be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And we look forward to talking to you then.